It's not so much a birthday party as it is the four of us adults drinking wine and sitting.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's our December Geeky Boners episode. We talk about Buttonumathon, making room for prop making, and Molly's embarrassing geeky boner.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, this is Geeks Without God. Thanks for joining us. I'm Nick Glover. I'm joined by Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hi, I'm here too.
And today we're going to talk about geeky boners.
Yay, December geeky boners.
I mean, like, conceptually, not like graphically.
I'm
like,
really
not...
glad that we've never actually discussed literal geeky boners.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I can paint you a word picture.
I think geeky boner is quite the word picture in and of itself.
Yeah, that's a line we don't need to cross, I feel, artistically.
I've seen a lot of them. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
What's the word? Non-discerning.
Oh. Well, she married me. So.
Oh, snap.
So, Tim, is there anything in particular that's geeky that's given a rise in your pants?
Yeah. Yes, actually. This week... I am going to Buttonumathon in Austin, Texas.
When do you leave?
Well, actually, once this podcast airs, I will be back. But I leave the Wednesday before Buttonumathon. We go down. Pat and I are what we call ourselves the early crew. Mm. We're usually the first of the Minnesota group that gets down there. We get down there Wednesday night. We hang out with our friends Cargill.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get to hang out with Harry Knowles, who programs Buttonumathon, but often on Wednesday night he's still working on the last couple of movies, and so he doesn't have time to get together. But
sure.
if he does, we get together and we hang out and we eat, because there's just great food in Austin.
That is true.
And then we just hang out with friends. Usually we go see a couple of movies even before Buttonumathon starts, because the Alamo Drafthouse is the greatest movie theater in the history of movie theaters.
That's what I've heard from a lot of people.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta... It's like have you guys ever been to, were you ever to the old shitty cinema cafes in the,
yes.
in the Minnesota?
Sure. Cause oh, yeah.
You know, because they're horrible, right? You know, they got like these round tables.
Oh, yeah.
So in order to eat, you have to sit with your back to the fucking movie.
It's, or at least your side. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just, and the food was pretty crappy and overpriced.
It's like
overpriced.
Shitty bar food.
Yeah. The Alamo Drafthouse is nothing like that.
Is it more like the Icon here in St. Louis Park? Or?
Yeah, a little closer.
Okay.
You know, in literally, it's a row of seats and then a row of tables. And then, actually, a row of tables, then a row of seats, then a row of tables,
oh, cool.
then a row of seats. So everybody's got a table in front of them. You're all facing forward.
Times.
Yeah. Like medieval times. Yeah. except with movies. And the food is terrific. So we try to go.
Medieval times.
We try to go. Yeah. We try to go.
Sorry.
We try to go to at least one movie in the Alamo Drafthouse. They do just some of the most amazing programming there.
Is it first run, or is it more like the Lagoon?
It is. There are two. There are several draft houses. One is a repertory cinema. So they're showing different stuff almost every day. All sorts of crazy whacked out stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have I think three different Alamo Draft Houses in Austin now that show
wow.
first run stuff. Both independent and big
yeah.
budget release. So then Buttonumathon is the Saturday. You go in at noon on Saturday and you watch movies for 24 hours straight.
Oof.
It's usually 12 to 13 movies, a good mix of premieres and classic films. Harry's really good about programming.
People fall
movies.
Asleep, right?
In theory, no. In reality, yes. You try not to.
Yeah.
But usually somewhere around 3 o'clock, Harry's an evil fuck, and he programs, like, the most agonizingly bad endurance films, usually at that time of night, just
films.
To see if you can last, if you can make it through. And
have you ever made it the whole time?
Without complete,
hours, without snoozing or dozing at all?
I would love to say that I have, but
yeah.
it is not true. There's been
usually
there's at least a half hour where I finally give up, and I just can't. The endurance films are there was a film the first year that I went. I didn't go the first year of Buttonumathon. I went the second, and one of the films they did is a film called Samurai Warrior, And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a movie about it's the original Lone Wolf and Cub movie.
Okay.
Basically.
All right.
So,
sure.
You know, it's a lot of this guy walking and pushing a baby carriage.
Yeah.
Punctuated by huge battle scenes with a bunch of people getting their arms chopped off.
Okay. Like the Rogue.
And he put this thing on, and I think it was like 6 a.m. And we'd been up all night, and we were all pretty jazzed. The adrenaline's running pretty high. Now you're watching a movie where, yeah, there's this kick-ass samurai shit with them chopping off arms,
yeah,
followed by like 5 minutes of this guy pushing a baby carriage down a road. And I tell you what,
no pacing at all.
Was it subbed and not subtitled?
No, it was dubbed.
Oh, see, now that's a little better because it's easier for me to fall asleep during a subtitled movie because when I close my eyes, I can't tell what's happening and now I'm asleep.
Yeah,
like, it's
Yeah, so I dozed through that one pretty hard, but in general, I stay awake through pretty much every movie. There's usually one movie that I just kind of can't quite get there. There have been times where there'll be a movie that I'm just like, I'm not staying awake through this. And I'll get up and I'll go out into the lobby and walk around a bit and talk with some people. You know, the real goal is to stay in there and watch the movies, but sometimes you just need to just get your body moving.
Well, we've heard a lot about it from our friends Jeremy and Amy Stomberg who go and also Heidi. I don't know if her boyfriend Andrew goes with her or not, but
no, it's usually just Heidi.
Just Heidi. So, I mean, I've heard a lot about it, and we've always wanted to go. This year, I don't think we weren't able to do it, but I think next year we're
going to fly next year.
It's a big application process, but I would love for you guys to go. I mean, there are a couple of good reasons. One of which, Adam Cerny, who's one of the writers for Ain't It Cool News, which Harry Knowles writes for Ain't It Cool News, and that's
where we're
gonna
start,
Cargill
really.
Does too, right?
Yeah, Cargill does too, but Adam is actually an atheist. And he talks about it a lot on his tweets and stuff. So it'd be totally cool if we all went down there. We could actually record an episode with him down there.
That'd be awesome.
We can't go anywhere with you without having to record, can we, Tim?
I know. It's not allowed.
I feel like...
We're going to go to someone's funeral, and you're going to be like, you know what we should do, guys, while we're here?
You know who knew the deceased really well, and he's here? Like, we should go... let's go... I'm not saying record it now. I'm just saying, let's go find it and schedule a time. Let's go give him a couple stickers,
Slap one on the casket on his way down.
We'll get a whole population in the underground and no one's even...
So like I say, I don't know. Unfortunately, we're recording before I go, so I don't know what we're going to see there. The movie that I would say I'm 99% certain we're going to see there because we've gotten every Peter Jackson premiere since The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
We're going to probably see The Hobbit.
Yeah, probably.
FFG, the company I work for, is having all of us. They're taking all of us to go see the movie.
Oh, yeah?
On Friday, December 14th. At 3:15 in the afternoon, everyone gets to go if you want to. And spouses are invited, but they got to buy their own tickets. So Nick took the day off, and he's coming with us.
Fucking awesome.
It's going to be super fun. So, like, there's like 95 of us that are going to go and just fill this theater.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, all these people who've been working on Hobbit games for... years,
preceding the Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh,
even.
For sure, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. If I had a guess, I would say another premiere we're really likely to see is Les Miserables.
Oh.
Because Harry loves musicals. Harry loves the fuck out of musicals.
I'll be so sad. I want to see that movie more. I don't even have words.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one I wanted to see more than that was the one that got pushed back to summer. The Great Gatsby.
Oh, The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Because that's Baz Luhrmann and just holy shit.
Right.
I don't know if anybody out there has seen the trailer for The Great Gatsby.
With Love Is Blind.
You have to fucking see it.
Yeah,
I'll put it in the show notes.
With Jack White covering you too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's like, it's Molly written all over it.
It's like when Nine Inch Nails covered it on the same. Nine Inch Nails covering you too. Good Lord. Like, just
perfect storm.
What am I supposed to do? They might as well have had a goat in the video.
There's a Venn diagram somewhere.
I really look forward to seeing Les Miserables. It would be great to see it with that audience. That audience is just a fantastic group to watch that kind of movie.
It makes a difference.
It does. It does.
Dream of being not gone by.
So anyway, I could take a whole podcast talking about BNAT, and I'm not going to do that.
What about you, Molly?
I am going to geek out about something super embarrassing. So my mom and I like to watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
The Real Housewives?
Hang on, wait.
Put your ring back on.
Nope.
Put it back on.
Nope.
Damn it. All right,
As long as you're talking about Real Housewives, we're not technically married, and the ring is off.
Here's the thing. I really... I don't like any of the other ones. I know that's a weird distinction.
Any of the other ones? You mean the other
New
Real
York,
Housewives?
There's New Jersey. There's Orange County. There's
which is
Georgia.
What you watch?
We watch Beverly Hills. Now I don't remember why we got started watching this, but it's people that are so rich they don't even understand what it's like to not be not just rich but crazy wealthy. Like people who are like they just can't. They have
$50,000 sunglasses.
Yes. Right. Yes, $50,000 sunglasses, like houses that cost $20 million, and they're like, it's a little bit big for us these days, but I think we may have to downsize, but I just can't give up this like 20-room mansion that me and my husband live in alone. I mean, it's, so there's that. So there's the conspicuous consumption part of it where we're just like, oh, you're the worst. Oh, we hate you. Like, it's that, you know, making fun of them for that. But then they're also really, really shallow. Like, super shallow and stupid and bitchy.
It just fills me with rage to watch it.
I know. It's just, I don't know what it is that we both love it. And we're not like that. My mom and I are both, like, more kind of tomboyish and, you know, just not, don't usually watch a lot of reality stuff. I don't usually get off on watching other people be horrible. It's just this. I don't know what it is, but I love it. And season three
just
started.
It's a guilty pleasure thing.
It is a very guilty pleasure. Yeah. But season three just started. And I would love to say something heartwarming here where it's like, and the real treasure is that I get to spend time with my mom, but that's not it. that's not it at all. The real treasure is watching that stuck up fucking, like, overly plastic surgeried bitch the fake tits and the skinny thing get cheated on by her husband and now they're divorced. And it's like, you're his third wife. You were the one that he cheated on his second wife with and then he married you. Did you not think he was going to cheat on you when you got old? Like, I don't understand what part of this, why you're surprised. And now you're crying at a dinner party because you got drunk and everyone's talking about you behind your back. Oh, your life is awful. Oh, it's so great.
So, oh, your tits taste so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it the Schadenfreude of watching other people who are
I think
theoretically better off than you, but
no, I really think it's more because I don't think they're better off than me.
More financially
stuff.
Yeah,
they have more stuff, and I mean, honestly, like, Nick and I, all needs met. Like, anything that we don't have money for is because we want it, not because we need it. Like, that's the thing. And so they have so much that they almost are, it's they're worse. It's not that, it's not the Schadenfreude, it's more like, it's like going to the zoo. Like, I can't even, these are people that their life is so foreign and different from mine, and I don't know anyone like them, and I can't even imagine living in something like Beverly Hills. And they are normal where they live. And that's what's weird. It's like seeing a tribal documentary on National Geographic. You're like, these people, in this microcosm of Beverly Hills, this is normal. This pair of sunglasses.
It's really alien.
This is, yeah.
So, so you're like, I'm not watching the shittiest of these people. I'm watching,
this is the average. This is the best that Beverly Hills has to offer us in terms of what they want you to know about how they do things. Like, a 5-year-old's birthday party that cost them $160,000.
Holy fuck.
Right?
But don't you think... Honestly, you know, I don't know anybody who lives in Beverly Hills, but don't you think that when they're making that show, they're not looking for the best of what Beverly Hills has to offer?
And it's,
they're looking for the best television.
The most dramatic.
Yes, and it's very clear that, like, my mom and I will talk about this. It's clear when they've set up stuff, and you can tell the producers are kind of pointing things to happen, because it'll be like, oh, we went shopping together. Like, you know, Lisa and Taylor went shopping together. It's like, well, why did they do that? Well, because the fucking producers called them on the phone off screen and said, you guys are going to go shopping together. I mean, that's what, but they're always taking these lavish trips, and I'm sure that the show pays for it. And it'll be one of the women will be like, I just, like, I have this idea that I want all of us to get away. And so we're all going to go to Ojai, and it's so spiritual there. And we're just all going to really, like, have fun and relax. And it's like, you're going to relax from your life that's a vacation to most people. Like, okay, no, your life looks really hard. You had to shop a lot today. So I'm sure that's
so overwhelming.
It's exhausting bossing around, like, 5 servants. It's really taxing.
Yeah, because those servants, you know, they can't clean right. And,
yeah.
And then you got to get them to clean again.
Because you're not going to clean it yourself.
No, you're not going to. You're going to. If they missed a spot, you're going to make sure that they get that spot. You're not going to clean it yourself.
Yeah. And
heavy is the hand which wields the checkbook.
There's like two of them. It's Kim and Kyle Richards are two of the stars. Kim Richards was on Little House on the Prairie, and Kyle Richards was in Escape to Witch Mountain and all those movies.
Oh.
So they were like child stars,
which
is like they're one of them. That's her only identity, and she's 49, and her only identity is, I was a child star. So all behavior excused. So drugs excused. Then. Yes, yeah. Drugs, and but all of it. Like, oh, I didn't know about, you know, I don't know how to get on a horse because all the horses I rode were Disney horses and they would just kneel down and you would climb on them. Like, I don't know how to get on a regular horse.
Disney
like,
horses.
Things like, yeah, but it's weird. So, I don't know. So that's my not at all geeky boner.
Yeah, no, that's pretty geeky.
It's geeky in a different way.
That's pretty geeky.
Yeah.
My geeky boner is last weekend, the weekend after OmegaCon. Mm-hmm. Which this episode's going to go up a week late. So 2 weeks ago it will be.
Middle of November.
Yeah. We, Molly
nice
and I
weekend we had.
Took the weekend to clean and empty out and organize the garage and basement in our house.
Uh-huh.
And kitchen.
Yeah.
And kitchen. And so the basement is now organized into two separate areas. It is our unfurnished basement. It's half of it is costume and prop storage for all our... like convergence costumes, vilification tennis props,
and
stage decorations, Halloween costumes, anything that we make or that's like a costume clothing item, the wigs, hats, it's all in this like enormous closety thing that I built and put together down there.
Totally got to take a picture of it so we can post it.
Yeah, for sure. And people who have been at our convergence shows or anything like that will recognize some of the props.
Yeah.
It's funny. But, there's a big Galactus helmet up on top.
I've seen that Galactus helmet. I know the Galactus helmet.
So, and then the other side of the garage, of the basement, I've organized into workshop. So I have a designated place to make props and to work on stuff and all that. So, and my inaugural project that I just started working on is I'm without a kit, which is an important detail, but I'm building a... Blade Runner PKD blaster, Deckard's gun.
Yeah,
I'm building one.
Just from scratch.
Parts, from toy gun parts.
You're DIYing the whole fucking thing.
Most of it. I found a guy that's selling the grips because the grips on the gun are technically like an amber, like a clear resin, but they're kind of an orangey. They're not wood. They're not metal. They're definitely like translucent. And I found a guy who's got molds, and he's selling the grips so that you can take the grips and you can mold them onto either like the metal frame of a real revolver or toy gun parts or whatever you're gonna do, but that at least you can have like semi realistic looking grips. And I'm right now at the point where I need to start making decisions about whether or not I'm gonna have it light up. And there are people that sell light kits that you can put in the hollow parts of your gun and mount the LEDs on the inside shining out. And those some of those light kits have soundboards, so when you pull the trigger, it makes the gun blast noise from Blade Runner.
That's awesome.
And all that, and the sound and light kits are cheap. I mean, they're like $30 or $40.
Wow.
But the real estate inside the gun is what I'm worried about because I don't have a full plan yet. So I want my goal is to make something that looks good enough to put up on my wall.
Yeah.
And I think that seems pretty feasible at this point. So it's really exciting.
It's important to note the basement that the basement was prior to this for the almost 5 years we've been living in our house. The basement was literally the place that you just carried stuff down and just put it there. So it was just go put that in the basement. So you just kind of put it in a pile.
Yeah.
And there was no
our costumes and stuff and props were still down
there.
There
was just tons
but it
of
was
stuff
just boxes and
we
bags
threw,
that had been placed on the floor.
15 of the extra large size black garbage
like
bags.
33 wow. gallon.
15 yeah. of those full of garbage and stuff, and we donated another like 6 bags of stuff. So
yeah, wow. it was
an undertaking.
It was
also we made the garage now ability to have 2 cars in it, so
yeah.
that there's no snow on my car all winter.
And we hung the bikes and
yeah.
all that in the
it
garage.
Awesome.
So it's a super like awesome couple you know effort, but then also we have space to work on future really geeky projects and stuff, which
well,
is
and
awesome.
Prop making and
like
all that stuff is gonna be easier for us to do. A lot of all the vaudevillification tennis props that we made and brought, we were making up in our living room, like sitting on the couch and on the floor, and there wasn't any kind of space. We didn't
kind
have
a mess.
Table. Yeah.
So that's I don't know. That was
wow.
our
that's
big
pretty
geeky
awesome.
Thing.
That's a pretty geeky.
Yeah, it's kind of specifically geeky, but it's more of like...
I just have that thinking, you know, like the basements where you go and toss shit, and I'm thinking about the room that's right next to where we're recording, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
No. Yeah, that was my whole basement.
This whole size you have here,
that was like all the floor was just shit. Like, just stuff we dumped, and stuff that my dad left.
I got a project for us now.
Like 10 gallons of plastic sheeting. Like, it was nuts.
Yeah, so, okay, well, we we talked about geeky boners, and I don't know, we got like 5 minutes before we should do five questions, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
I have something. Well, here's the thing. So the listener whose five questions that I'm going to read, it's Luca, and he is from Malta.
From Malta.
I would like to read, I've got time, I could read the whole first part of his email here, if you don't mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Please.
All right, so he wrote, "Dear Awesome Molly, shameless brown nosing." I just wanted to point out
that's
that,
awesome.
That recognized. Yeah. Okay. "First, love the podcast. It is boner-tastic. I may also be the only listener you have in the sunny island nation of Malta, a country that is legally Catholic to the point where IVF is a current hot-button issue and divorce was only legalized in the last year or so."
Wow. IVF is in vitro fertilization,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yep. And women still don't have full bodily autonomy.
Which is a good term.
Yes.
That's a great
term. Now to the point. "I'm a budding atheist filmmaker with a similar odd interest or fascination with serial killers." If you don't remember, I have talked about this, but I am obsessed with serial killers.
Yeah, yes. With Matt.
Yeah.
When he was our guest.
So he says, "I'm working on a series of short films about a serial killer and would love some recommendations of reading material and documentary films about serial killers if you have some." So I did send him a few links of books and things that are good. The one I want to, since we're talking about it, "The Stranger Beside Me" is a really great book about Ted Bundy, written by a woman who like worked with him at the suicide call, like a crisis line that he worked at, knew him really well, and continued to talk with him after he went to prison and stuff. So it's a great book.
If any listeners want to comment on the post for this episode with recommendations for that, for Luca.
Yep, that'd be great.
Any resources,
really good
any good books or movies, do that.
Yeah. But so I don't know. I did a little bit of looking into it because I knew Malta as a country, like, as an island, but I hadn't really known much about it.
Uh-huh.
And so like...
So are we going to get a geography lesson before we do the five answers?
I mean, kind of. The thing is, what I looked up was surprising because I didn't know they were a legally Catholic nation. I didn't know anything was legally Catholic.
I mean,
aside
like
from
Rome, Ireland.
Well, aside from Rome, is Ireland legally Catholic?
Yeah, I think so. They have an official.
Really?
They have a state religion. Yeah, it's
because I thought that was.
There are more countries with state religions than you realize. I think.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but so it is. Here, I will give you a Wikipedia geography lesson.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Great.
So it's a southern European country. It's an archipelago. Man.
Jeez,
I only read that book. Okay, I'm sorry. It is one of the most densely populated countries worldwide.
Because it's an island
small.
City.
Yep. Yeah. It's Gibraltar's to the west and Alexandria's to the east.
Sure.
So it's in that kind of like the Italian Greek Mediterranean area. They have a long Christian legacy, and it's an apostolic see. Thanks, Wikipedia, for telling me that you need money. Just jumping my whole page around. Anyway, I had an apostolic see, which, I'm sorry, this just disappeared on me. There we go. So, according to the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible, St. Paul was shipwrecked on Malta. So
it's like a holy site.
Yes, the apostolic see.
St. Paul, are you talking about the letter of Paul, the Corinthians Paul?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It just
okay.
says...
One of them guys.
Yeah.
The
Yep.
Yeah.
Them
and,
guys.
Okay. And a Catholic.
Well, Paul's, but when it comes to the New Testament, Paul's a big, really important character.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the one that's the first pope?
He's the scales fall
no,
from his
Peter,
eyes.
Oh,
Peter's,
right.
The converted on
Peter's
the road to
Damascus. Peter's the first pope.
Oh.
But, so there's, you know, they have a lot of art and architecture,
I think.
As you can
now somebody's
going
to correct me, and I'm
yeah,
wrong.
Well,
it's not Peter,
whatever.
But it's not Paul.
Of all the things to be wrong about. Yeah.
So yeah, so that's
it's
just a little bit of stuff about Malta, and then we have our five questions from Luca.
Yeah,
all
right,
let's
hear his answers.
All right, do you guys want to ask the questions, and then I will answer as if I were Luca? Is that the way to
that
feel?
Sounds like a fine plan.
Awesome.
Let's go with that.
Let's do that. So the best movie in the last 30 days.
Marwinkle, a documentary about the survivor of a brutal attack that results in brain damage and how he uses building a miniature doll town to ease his troubles.
Wow. Huh. Never heard of that movie.
I've never heard of it either.
But that sounds just cool as hell.
Yeah. All right. I thought that sounded great.
Marwinkle.
Like, Marwinkle. I may be saying it wrong.
It sounds like almost like occupational therapy.
Yeah.
Or like to recover from trauma or whatever.
It kind of makes me think of Regarding Henry. Do you remember that? When Harrison Ford is constantly painting Ritz crackers and he doesn't know why.
Yes.
And it turns out it's like, spoilers, it turns out because he was having an affair with a woman at the Ritz
Hotel.
And so that was the one thing his brain was picking up on and remembering. Yeah, and
that's right. Spoiler alert. Movie 20 years old.
Yeah.
I'll feel bad about that.
All right, show notes, Marwinkle. That sounds like a great...
It sounds very really interesting.
Interesting documentary. Second question is, what's your favorite atheist character?
All right, Lucas says, I'm going to start off by saying that my least favorite atheist character is Mr. Terrific, because his entire atheism shtick is the angry at the loss of a loved one thing that defames us to this day. My favorite is definitely Hank Pym / Ant-Man / Giant Man / Yellow Jacket / Dr. Pym / Wasp / Dude Who Slapped His Wife Once.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
/ Brilliant Science Dick.
That's right.
He is a brilliant science dick. Nick wins that one.
I will say really quickly as an aside, someone posted on Reddit, they were watching the Avengers cartoon.
I saw that.
And they posted a screen cap of, it's Pym sitting next to Janet, the Wasp, and she's got a black eye. Like, even in that, he hits her.
No. He doesn't. It's totally out of context.
It was?
He doesn't hit her in the cartoon.
That's hilarious.
It's just out of context. It was him sitting next to her with a black eye, and she has this look on her face like, aww.
That's super funny.
Yeah. So,
all right. So least favorite Mr. Terrific, favorite Hank Pym.
Interesting.
Hank Pym.
Mr. Terrific is a DC character, Justice League of America, the new, and there's an old Mr. Terrific, the Fair Play guy, and then there's the new Mr. Terrific, who's, they're brilliant science-minded guys.
But they're the angry at God type.
Kinda. I'm not a big fan.
Which I like how he says that the thing that defames us to this day, because I think there is like this, not stigma, but kind of a characterization that atheists are just mad at God.
Yeah. The presumption that as soon as you get over your anger at God.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not angry at God because God doesn't exist. I'm not angry at God.
Right.
I'm angry at you for
Malcolm,
all the shit.
Malcolm Reynolds and Firefly.
Absolutely.
So the third question, what's your geekiest hobby?
Watching horrible, horrible movies. Birdemic, The Room, Manos, Plan 9, all that good jazz.
Yeah.
I started watching bad movies as an exercise in spotting flaws, but I just love doing it so much.
Sure.
And so I've seen all those movies. The Room
is so bad.
It's so bad. I know that it's got this cult status.
It's tearing me apart.
People think it's so bad it's good. I disagree. I think it's so bad it's unwatchable. That's
the first time
it
ever.
It's terrible. It's a horrible, horrible film.
The first time I ever saw it I was turning on the TV to watch like Adult Swim, to watch like Aqua Teen Hunger Force or whatever it was. And I didn't realize that it was midnight, April 1st.
It had just turned April Fools.
And so Adult Swim runs The Room. And they don't put it on the TV guide or anything like that.
No explanation as to what's happening.
They don't explain it at all.
They just play it with no commercials.
And they play it twice. So they play it until like 4 a.m. So there's like, I mean, that's usually, if Molly and I have the TV on in the background.
That's what it is.
And it's late at night, chances are it's Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And I was working the second shift at the time, so it was like, I got home from work, I was going to sit down and watch some television, and I watched The Room.
And you called me up, and you're like, are you watching Adult Swim right now? Because we were just dating at the time.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm like, I think so, but I had it on mute. I was playing a computer game, and I just wasn't even, I look up, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, turn up the sound. It's fucking crazy. And
it's
like,
awful.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It's a fucked up, horrible film.
Yeah.
But it's got this cult following that I think is about how bad it is.
It's irony. It's irony. But nobody actually likes it. They ironically like it.
They
that's
ironically
bullshit.
Like it, and I don't like that. Because it's like, what are you, because I don't believe that anyone is sitting and entertained by that movie.
No, but you can revel in a bad movie and you can enjoy how awful something is without liking it ironically. I feel like those are two separate things.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoy some bad movies, but it's not because I think they're good movies. I mean, I love watching Plan 9 from Outer Space because it's hilariously bad.
Yes. That's
but
true.
It's not. But there's never a moment where I'm like, I'm watching a great film.
No.
It's not a great film.
It's like Lucas says... It's a hobby watching bad movies.
Yeah.
Not ironically liking bad movies, but like reveling in how bad they are.
Right.
Like, I totally get that.
Specifically with The Room.
Oh,
I think that there's a lot of people that are like, The Room's amazing, man. That guy's a genius. No, I really believe that.
No.
Like, no, you fucking don't. Right. You're just being mean. You're just teasing him. Right. You think he doesn't realize it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Might not, but that's not even the point.
Well, right. And like, Molly and I went to the Defenders series at the Trilon Theater. And it was Basic Instinct 2. And we didn't know. Like,
you don't know until you get there.
You pay, you sit down.
So explain the Defenders series.
Okay. So they do this thing where they have a guest pick a movie, and it's a traditionally a bad movie or unliked movie.
But you like it.
But you like it. The guest likes it. And so the audience watches this movie, and then at the end, the person who picked it stands up and has a dialogue, a conversation with the audience, and talks about the movie and why they liked it, and essentially, like, dares them not to admit that they didn't enjoy themselves a little bit. So, this past week when we went, it was Tom Kay, who's a local indie comics guy for the Twin Cities. He's kind of a funny weirdo. And he picked Basic Instinct 2, like, unapologetically.
And he genuinely thought it was good, and it was not good. So, and Luca, you should watch Basic Instinct 2.
Yeah, if you like bad movies, Luca, Basic Instinct 2 is fucking terrible.
And if you're local, The Defenders is interesting.
At the Trilon.
Yeah, it's a micro cinema in the last Twin Cities.
It's the third Wednesday of every month.
The Defenders, yeah.
Okay, so question number 4.
All right.
Question number 4 is, what's your favorite sandwich?
Favorite sandwich. This is one I actually created as a midnight snack last night.
Huh.
Make a bacon weave. Size is up to you. Sprinkled with maple syrup. Put a decent amount of matured cheddar on it and stick it in the oven and cook until it's cooked but not crispy. Then you slice a ciabatta in half, fold the bacon weave over, stick it in, and feast. It's a simple sandwich, but the deliciousness is amazing.
Okay, as a bacon fan and a fan of cheddar, that sounds absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I know. We have a bacon problem.
But no, we don't, because turkey bacon exists.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We just do turkey bacon.
Some turkey bacon's really good, so who knows?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I am just now realizing that Luca did not answer the fifth question.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
I just,
Luca.
I just saw. But so he doesn't have an answer to his fifth question. I'm guessing that in Malta, they say lots of stupid things.
Yeah. Luca, if you're listening to this podcast right now.
He may not be out as an atheist now that I think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So Luca, I'll let him know that we're doing his questions, and he should, you should comment and let us know if you're out or what's the deal.
And let us know if you have a comment.
Yeah.
If you have the stupidest thing anybody said to you about your atheism, or maybe just the stupidest thing you've heard somebody say about atheism if you're not out.
But so the last line of the email is, thank you, and may your boners continue to be the geekiest.
Try and stop me.
All
right. I think that, I don't know how you end any better than
right?
that.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
May your boners be the geekiest.
So,
that's how I'm going to say goodbye to people from now on.
May your boners
be the geekiest. Continue to be the
Are you going to do it with a little live long and prosper?
Yeah.
Like a boner symbol, though, like a sprung.
But yeah, do the live long and prosper, but then
pop the first finger up.
Then,
the wrong direction.
Okay. So I do have to point out in the show notes, we have a video of Molly saying thesaurus over and over again because that is... That is what she has to do because she lost the poop bet. So check that out.
I did lose the poop joke bet.
Watch that video. It's going to be great.
It's great.
All right, you guys. Well, thanks for listening, and thanks to Luca and Malta for sending your answers. That's awesome. We love getting the ones from all around the world. And
don't forget to donate to CamQuest. Help us start a scholarship.
We're trying to get a scholarship to send kids to CamQuest. You'll find a link to donate to that on our website, geekswithoutgod.com. You can also find us and like us on Facebook. We'll have information on how to donate to CamQuest there as well. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
I have the geekiest boner right now.
We're geeks. We don't recognize except divide superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
Well, and seriously, like, look at this shit. Okay, so Wikipedia, because of its fucking whatever. Oh.